All right, folks, I know you've missed us. You've missed us a lot. This is the first place-by-place fishing report we've done since April 6th, and it's April the 27th, 2024. We made you wait 3 weeks, and, you know, for that, we do apologize. It was never our intention to make you do that, but it's been a busy time of year, and every time we come back here to do the report, we just get busy with people wanting to buy tackle. So, and then, of course, last week, Robert with his international travels. What are you going to do? So, but look,
unfortunately, nothing.
Here's what's important. We're here now. We are prepared to do the place-by-place fishing report, and it's going to be windy tomorrow, so maybe you can't go fishing anyway. So, but that's okay, because we're going to talk about what's been going on, what will be going on, what's likely to go on, and it starts with the Peace River, Harbor Heights, and Upriver, along with Shell Creek. Mr. Lukowitz, take it away.
Extraordinarily quiet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Not much happening up there.
No, I was saying, uh-oh, because I'm trying to have to spell extraordinarily. The first word to type is extraordinarily. Thanks.
I think you can handle it. No, I think you can handle it.
Okay, so just that bad up there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, just nobody's really been fishing it. I mean, it's been slow. The fish are starting to migrate out of there. There's, you know, a couple reports of some juvenile tarpon rolling around and a couple of little mangrove snapper and Mayan cichlids, but it's so far and few between on those reports that it's just nothing. Because the weather has been kind of nice.
It has.
The last couple of weeks, so not a lot of people stay up there. It seems like they go up there when it's really windy, really cold, all that good stuff. And since we've had the break the last three weeks in the weather,
they go up there when they have to.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. I'll take it. The Darce Park Boat Ramp, I-75 Bridges area.
Been a couple reports of some small snook. One guy did catch a legal snook there.
Ooh.
And he said it was just like 28 and a half. He let it go, but he said he could have kept it. Been a couple of small bull sharks being caught there at those little canals right there.
Not black tips?
No, they're bull sharks. One guy did see a baby sawfish cruising.
Oh.
What else did I hear up there? A black drum.
Black drum?
He saw it when he was fishing for snook fish in the pilings, and he saw it come up in the water column and hang there for a minute and lollygagged around and then slowly sank back down.
You know, it's bad enough that I typed one sawfish already. I can't type one black drum. I can't do that to people.
Okay. So. Well, then they can just listen to it and figure it out.
Okay. And if you're wondering how to tell those bull sharks from the blacktip sharks, well, there's a post on the Fish and Frank's Fishing Club Facebook page, which is probably where you found this report anyway, so look there.
Right.
Basically, though, if you're catching it in this area, it's in the upper harbor, if it's around the 41 bridges, if it's around the canal mouths, then it's probably a baby bull shark. The likelihood of getting a little blacktip up here is pretty small. Now, if you're down around Turtle Bay, if you're down around the Cape Hayes Bar, if you're down around Boquelia, well, then there's an excellent chance that it could be a black tip. So you're going to need to be able to tell the difference if you want to harvest those fish, because baby bull sharks are a no-keep. You got to be 54 inches to the fork to be able to keep a bull shark. So let's
Did
not
you put that on there today?
I did.
Found a couple good pictures?
I did.
Nice.
Let's not go around harvesting undersized sharks, please.
Yeah.
Next report spot, the U.S. 41 Bridges Live Oak Point Park. Baby bull sharks?
Yep.
Lots of baby bull sharks?
I heard of about four or five. There's been some juvenile tarpon at first light in the morning. Obviously just to stare at and tease you. And then there's been, I heard of one legal cobia, two undersized cobia.
Okay.
Been a few snook, an occasional legal-sized snook. And that's about it.
Okay. A few snook. All right. That brings us to the Lashley Seawall as the pier is currently closed due to hurricane damage.
Let's see. One legal redfish.
Okay.
A couple of snook. A couple of Mayan cichlids and snapper. Oh, and the guy did hook a trout there. A trout. Same guy that hooked a couple snook.
Yidoke. Then that's what we'll put.
Sounds good.
The Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier. Two short cobia. That's okay. It. That's all I heard about. He caught two short cobia, almost back to back.
How short were they?
30 inches.
Okay.
Quite a bit short.
Yeah. Remember the old days when it used to be 28?
Right. Yeah. Same way with the old days of snook. 18.
Yeah, but those were really old days.
Okay, 24.
Port Charlotte Beach Pier.
A lot of snook, mostly undersized. Been a couple legal fish caught there in the wee hours of the night in the early morning.
And of course, your time to keep a snook is wrapping up here. End of the month is when snook season's over.
Yeah, what do you got? Two more days? Three more days.
Yeah, we're...
Two and a half more days.
Running out of time.
Not much. And that's really all I've heard about is those few snook.
Okay. Then that brings us to the Port Charlotte Salt and Brackish Canals. Tell me about those black drum.
There's been some black drum cruising through all of them. It seems like today it's this canal, tomorrow it's that canal, the next day it's that canal. They're just kind of hodgepodged. Let's see, we've got a lot of little snook around. Not hearing of really any legal size fish, but a lot of small guys that people are catching while they're trolling in and out of the canals.
Okay.
I've heard of several sheep's head. Not many, but quality.
Okay.
You know, like 18, 19 inches. And of course a bunch of the teeny tiny baby snapper.
Yeah. I'm not even typing that.
Okay.
That's always.
Speaking of snapper, I was talking to Austin the other day and he took a guy out teaching him fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, at the phosphate dock. Took him over there and showed him how to fish it and stuff like that. Guy really wanted a snook. Sticks a fish, fighting it. Pulls it in. About a 5 to 8 pound Cabera.
Cool.
And the guy's like, oh, that's nice. Throw it back.
Yeah, I want a snapper.
I want a snook. And then he finally got like a 32 inch snook, and he was totally ecstatic about that. The Cabera was a little beat up, but Austin took a picture of it just to take a picture of it just to have proof.
Yeah. I guess...
Like, really?
When you don't know what you've got, really? Then you don't know to be excited about it.
Right. Like, wow. How funny is that?
Yeah.
Oh, well. He'll learn. Somebody, one of his friends, is going to bust his stones at some point.
Yeah.
You caught what kind of snapper? I don't remember. It was something like Cuba. Cubera?
Cubino. I don't remember.
What? Did you get a picture of it? No. I only wanted the snook.
Yeah. It's like those guys going out shark fishing. You know, we really want like a 10-foot bull shark. All we caught was a stupid 6-foot tiger.
Right. Yeah.
You have any idea what you just did?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I saw Bushmaster today, but I was looking for a pileated woodpecker.
That just went right over everybody's head but mine, Robert. Uh-huh. That one was only for me.
No. Still, same concept.
All right, the El Jabin Pier.
Oh, let's see. That's actually been kind of quiet except for snook at night. There's been a couple of legal snook caught there, a lot of undersized fish. And then there's been some juvenile tarpon rolling around there too at night.
But have those been caught?
Nope. One guy jumped one. He thought he had a good snook on, and then he realized on its second jump it was a 30-pound tarpon. And then on the third or fourth jump, it was gone.
You got the best part of it. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of it was going to be just a bunch of fighting.
Right.
Ugh. If you were going up here for snook at night, what would you throw?
Freshwater shiners.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my first number one bait.
Yep. And you'd put them where?
Right underneath my feet, walking the pilings, like one board at a time, that tiny of steps. And he's only going to live between each piling and probably be dead after that, but that's okay. Usually by about the sixth or seventh shiner, you've got your fish.
Oh, there you go.
Or a couple short ones.
Let's take it to the Myakka River area from the bridge down to marker 8.
Oh, and the behind Hog Island there on the upper end of the cutoff, a lot of little snook. A couple of bigger snook. My nephew and my uncle caught a couple redfish in there and a few small snook. And let's see, what else did I hear about in there? A couple of tiny trout. And that's pretty much it.
Tiny trout.
Tiny trout. Not heard of a legal trout in there in quite some time.
Tiny trouts. Okay. The South Gulf Cove Canals.
South Gulf Cove Canals. I got nothing in there.
Yeah, I fished with a couple of guys out of there this week, and they said the canal fishing sucks.
Yeah.
We did see some tarpon rolling in there.
Did you?
But, yeah.
A guy bought some shiners. I'm going to say it was... had to be either Friday or Saturday, because we ran out Saturday afternoon last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going there bass fishing, because the day before he had caught a couple bass. But that was, you know, over a week ago, so not exactly a up-to-date report.
Okay. The west wall.
A lot of snook moving along it. They're starting to migrate their ways out towards the beaches. So a lot of people are seeing a lot of fish, mostly small fish. They are catching some redfish up underneath the bushes and at the mouths of some of the creeks, mostly all on shrimp. A couple guys caught some on some gulp shrimp. And then they're getting a few miscellaneous trout on top of the bar. A few cobia have been seen. And they all were short. And then a guy did hook two pompano and a Spanish mackerel while drifting on top of the bar in about 3 to 4 feet of water.
Okay.
He actually caught those just after he had some manatees pass him and stir up the bottom.
Okay. The grass over here is looking quite a bit better.
Is it?
We only went in a couple of spots, and both of them were pretty far south, but there is some grass. It's mostly on the outside of the bar, though. You get inside the bar, and there's a little bit of grass with mostly algae growing on top of it.
Okay.
But you got some grass in that 3 to 5 feet of water. It's actually grass. There's actually grass growing there.
Nice. So
I was pleased to see it.
Nice.
We're going to have Kate Rose coming on the Radio Waterline show, not
Jeez,
next Saturday,
really?
But the week after that, to talk about, among other things, eyes on seagrass. She's going to have some results for us to talk about where the grass is and where the grass ain't. So I think that some of it's going to be very unsurprising, but I'm hoping that we're going to hear about grass growing back in places where it hasn't been.
Right.
So we'll see. See there what we get out of her. That's going to be a really interesting conversation. Again, not this coming up Saturday, but the Saturday after that.
Good.
That brings us to the Cape Hayes Bar.
Let's see. On the Boca Grande side, Spanish mackerel. A couple of ladyfish. And a couple of trout. other than that, I haven't heard of anything up on top or anywhere else. It's all been on that drop off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing and, really special.
And what is on the drop off besides these things? Anything else?
Nope. That's all I heard about. All
right. We had a couple sharks over there.
Did ya?
Yeah. We had a hammerhead about 7 feet come up and monkey around with a ladyfish we were using for bait, and then it kind of quit, and we thought that when the rod went off 5 minutes later that we had a hammerhead hooked up, and it turned out it wasn't. It was about a 3.5-4 foot blacktip shark.
Still fun.
Yeah, and it didn't take long either. So we had two sharks within 20 minutes. So.
There you go. It's not too bad at all.
Yep. Actually, we would have probably had, I don't know if it was one of the same sharks or not, but we did have a shark come up and eat a mackerel that we were using for bait too, which we were using legally. It was a keeper size mackerel. We opened his belly to gut him, but we didn't cut him anywhere else. So perfectly legal bait at that point. The frozen ladyfish got no results at all. Nothing cared for that.
See, and I had a customer in here earlier that said that's what he ended up catching his bull sharks on and a black tip down there. Because he only fished for about a half hour looking for fresh ladyfish.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just got lucky with that one ladyfish. There haven't been many down there.
Mm-hmm.
We've been catching tons of trout, but very, very few ladyfish out there. And we happened to get one big ladyfish while we were trolling through the pass.
Gotcha.
So.
Those are usually big ladyfish.
It was a big ladyfish.
30 inches?
Maybe not quite 30, but it was pushing it. It was...
High 20s anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was jumbo.
I'm not really that I can ever remember catching a little ladyfish in there.
Yep. That brings us to the Turtle and Bull Bay area.
Oh. So inside and on the outside, snook. A lot of snook. Most of them are way undersized. They're just peanuts. But there's also been an assortment of redfish. Most of your redfish are underneath the bushes. But a couple guys fishing for those snook out front hooked some redfish, both legal and over slot.
Okay. And where are they hanging out front? Just on the...
Just along those little bumps along between Turtle and Bull Bay, basically.
Okay. So what are you looking for specifically when you're driving through that area? Are you looking for the darker patches that would indicate some kind of vegetation below, or is it a depth thing?
It's mostly the topography. You're looking for that kind of washboard bottom, and it's not even really washboard bottom as much as it is kind of stairs.
Okay.
And just working that shoreline in 2 feet of water to 3 feet of water tops seems to be where they were at. And, of course, that grassy bottom that is kind of there. Or algae bottom, whatever you want to call it.
There's both.
And then there's also been quite a few assortment of small to moderate sized sharks cruising through there. People are seeing them, but they ain't really trying to hook them. And that's about it. I didn't hear of any trout in there this week. I'm sure they are in there, but I just haven't heard of any.
There's got to be.
I mean, there pretty much almost always is.
Okay. Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs.
Cape Hayes and Danger Reef. There is some Spanish mackerel cruising between all of that. A guy did catch a couple pompano off the alligator, or off the Danger Reef. And then he also caught him a couple more pompano just towards Turtle, or towards Bull Bay, away from it. He said he was about 100 feet, 150 feet away from it, and still managed to catch two more pompano.
Okay. All right, Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound, okay. Spanish mackerel out along that 4 to 6 feet of water, along with a few trout, an assortment of sharks. I've heard of bulls, black tips, spinners, two lemon sharks. What else did I hear about? I guess that's about it. I didn't hear about a hammer in there.
Okay. Anything else going on around here?
A lot of snook and redfish up against the bushes along the shoreline there of Wooden and Catfish. And then there's been a ton of little pinfish in there just beating the snot out of your shrimp, but that's what the redfish are still hitting is the shrimp. The shrimp's out fishing everything else for redfish right now.
Yeah, and not all the pinfish are little either. Some of them are quite chunky.
Yeah.
Good full hand size pinfish out there.
That's a good pinfish.
Yeah, it doesn't take them long to rip up a shrimp either.
Oh no. A couple seconds.
Yeah. Two of them, they each grab an end and tug of war it, and that's it.
Yep. That's true.
Placida.
There's been some snook there at night. A couple of legal fish, too. There's been a couple of oversized redfish caught off there at night while the guys were snook fishing. Been some tarpon at night, along with a variety of sharks. And then during the daytime, there's been some Spanish mackerel, a couple of sheep's head, and mangrove snapper.
Any size of the snapper?
No, all small.
Okay. Yeah, we cruised through there a couple days ago, and we had already gone out Boca Grande Pass, and we didn't really see much tarpon activity going on in there, and very few boats. And then when we came back in through Gasparilla Pass, it became pretty apparent that several of the tarpon anglers had relocated there, because not only were there multiple boats anchored right there in the entrance, so you had to kind of weave your way around them and get dirty looks from them, but there were also a bunch of tarpon in there rolling.
Nice.
So I guess you got to be where the fish are to catch them, right?
Yes.
But it seems like maybe not the best of all possible plans to anchor in the middle of where you know the boats have to go through.
Yeah.
Because that's where the deep water is.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're parked in the middle of the freeway and you're going to give people dirty looks. Okay.
People.
D2D.
D2D is right. Some of those were Captain D2D.
Most of them were.
Lemon Bay.
The only thing I've heard about up in there has been a few redfish and some small trout closer towards Stump Pass on some of those grass flats and under the bushes. Guys are seeing some big snook underneath the docks along the mainland side, but not anybody has hooked any that I heard of. But even my reports from the Inglewood Fishing Club, I hardly ever see anything from there.
Now, if you wanted to catch one of those big snook, what would you do? I know what I would do, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I'd be using my tarpon gear, or even my grouper gear, something with like 65-plus pound braid with 100-pound monofilament leader of, say, at least 10 feet long. And I would be taking those 2-pack and 3-pack mullet, the ones that are about, 10 inches?
Mm-hmm.
Putting that on there and throwing it out and letting it drift. Or if I could cast net a live ladyfish in that size range or a mullet about that same size, I'd be sliding them up underneath those docks.
Yep. But I don't want them alive.
I want
the bait. I don't want him alive. I want him dead.
Yeah.
I don't want him swimming around. I don't want him deciding to go between pilings, and then that's where the fish is going to hit him.
Yeah.
I just want him to lay there. But You know, those big fish, well, people get so excited about, oh, I gotta find the perfect bait for them, and they forget how scavengy big snook get.
Right.
They get big, they get lazy, they don't want to chase anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a bulky fish. It's hard to get all that weight moving. So offer them something just dead laying there on the bottom, and if it sits there for 5 minutes and you know that that fish is there, break out a little more patience.
Yes.
You know, just let it sit there.
Yeah.
Wait for him. And then, of course, here's what's going to happen. Okay, when he hits it, you're going to overreact way too much.
Yep.
So
that's my biggest problem.
What's everybody's biggest problem with it?
Especially since you've been sitting there for 15 minutes to 2 hours and 15 minutes. You get that hit finally. You're like, yeah. Ah.
That rod twitches.
What
the drag goes, bzz, and you get, ah. And you jump up, you grab the rod, you try to set the hook, and you either pull the bait right out of the fish's mouth, or you set the hook in the fish successfully, and then he just turns and dives into a piling, and that's it. Doesn't matter if you have 100-pound line on there.
Right.
So just walk that fish out of there. Nice, slow walk him out of there. Instead of reeling like a crazy person, just reel gently, softly, nicely, slowly, like you're leading grandma by the hand from the church pew. And then when that snook realizes, hey, wait a minute, here I am with this food in my mouth, and I'm letting it walk me out from underneath this pier. That's not what I wanted to do. I want to be underneath the dock. He turns and he dives for it. And that's when he sets the hook on himself. And that's when you fight that fish. But he's already hopefully away from the pilings. Gives you the chance to catch it. Rather than just have another story about how you lost a big one.
Right.
You think anybody will do it?
I think one or two people will end up trying it at some point or another.
I hope so.
Even if they can't keep them going into the off season, it's still a great time of year to play
with. The fish you're
going to
catch
it.
Doing that are going to be too big to keep anyway.
Exactly.
You know, you're looking at a usually
36 plus.
I was going to say something over 3 feet. So.
Yep. Fun.
Yes. Big fun. The Inglewood Anger Pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge.
Some Spanish mackerel. Heard of a couple bonnet heads caught off there this past week. A lot of small fish, mangrove snapper, bait thieves. Mm.
No little cuberas?
Nope. Not that I know of.
Really hard to tell when they're 4 inches long.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think even when they're 6 inches long, they're probably a little tricky.
I think I spelled thieves wrong.
Yeah?
That's right. I fixed it. All right. Let's run out into the Gulf, bottom fishing, trolling out in that deeper water, which has been gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, except for this weekend.
Well, yeah. And we've had that east wind happening, and, you know, you get out there off the beach, and it's just beautiful for that first 3 miles, and then you realize, hey, wait a minute, it's a little wavy out here.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll turn and go back, and then you turn to go back, and suddenly you're pushing up against 3-foot waves.
Yeah. It's real pleasant. I've done that before a couple times.
Yeah. Just went too dang far.
Yep. So they're getting some Spanish mackerel from right at the beach line all the way out to, like, 5 miles. Let's see. Haven't heard of much at the near shore reefs for bottom fish. A couple of undersized cobia. The lanes and mangs and grunts and porgies have all been, the reports have been like 15 to 20 miles out. So 50 to 70 feet of water. And then a couple of red grouper in that 110 to 120 feet of water range.
Any surprises?
No. I mean, I saw a couple. Well, I take that back. The one surprise I did see was a guy got two African pompano in 100 feet of water. And he had no idea how fortunate he was because they were good-sized fish. They were over 30 inches. And then a small wahoo.
Okay.
That another gentleman caught.
You call that a weehoo?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably a 30-inch fish, too.
Well, that's not too wee.
No, it wasn't teeny tiny, but still, in 100 feet of water.
Yeah, any wahoo is fantastic in 100 feet of water.
Yeah, a wahoo or an African pompano in that shallow of water.
That would be like both. Catching a 5 or 8 pound cubera at the phosphate dump.
Right, exactly. You know, it's a pretty impressive task. So, yeah, those were probably the two highlights this past week. And you said you saw a king. Did it free jump or it just came up in the wash?
No, it came up right to the top in front of the boat, which was where I was laser focused because there have been loggerhead sea turtles out there and some of them are mating. And while the loggerheads usually get out of your way, mating ones sometimes don't.
Right.
So I was just laser focused on what was in front of us, and that king came right up. It almost rolled like a tarpon, but it's like it just came up and almost floated to the surface just to show me, hey, look, here I am, and now I disappear.
Nice.
Jerk fish.
Yes. Yes. I'd like to see a leatherback out there.
Yeah. I talked to one of the turtle ladies. She said that further south they're seeing some.
Yeah, they had one for the first time on Sanibel in like 3 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the tracks and the pictures of that. That was pretty cool.
So, that reminds me, I got to send her a map. Oh. Wonder if I have her contact information. Anyway, two things we need to talk about for offshore fishing here.
Okay.
Thing number one, we've got good news. Thing number two, less good news. We'll start with thing number one, which is that we have an amberjack season opening up May 1st.
Nice.
And opening for the entire month. So, do you have any suggestions for folks for amberjack?
Sure, it's not like every third full moon.
It's not.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not. It's 1 month of amberjack season.
Wow.
And yeah. Knowing how the feds operate, this could be it for amberjack for the year, because they might say, oh, well,
or two or three.
We opened it up for a month, and you guys took 6.75 million pounds of amberjack.
Cubic tons.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. A guy did say he saw some out there. But. No, I think the easiest way to get them, I mean, there's two ways. They're kind of garbage disposal, so you can use any type of vertical jig, whether it's a slow pitch jig or just a plain old school diamond jig, and they're hitting those. They'll hit those. The other thing they hit readily is pinfish.
Love a pinfish.
They'll also take a sardine or even sometimes a squid if you just slowly lower it down and not leave it right on the bottom, you know, drop it down about halfway. Those fish are always free swimming in the water column. They kind of hit just about anything. They're like a cobia. They're not super fussy right up until they are.
Yeah.
You know, I forget how you described them earlier today with cobia, but that was a perfect dead-on thing.
I have no idea what I said earlier.
Yeah.
I could have said anything.
I know, but it was a dead-on comment, and it had something to do with how they feed and how they don't feed, no matter what you got.
I have to go back and listen to myself to see what I said.
Yeah.
So I can quote myself later.
Yeah. Exactly. But it was a very good way, the way you put it.
Well, if it was so good, why didn't you write it down for later?
I don't know, because we're in the middle of a radio show.
I guess that's a good
reason.
At least
it's immortalized and recorded somewhere.
Yeah, it's on the website.
There you go. Well, there you have it.
If you want to hear the quote, you can go to RadioWaterline.com, click on the archive, listen to today's show, and see whatever it was that I don't remember having said. So, the other thing, the less good thing to talk about, is the Red Grouper. They are closing Red Grouper effective June 30th. So
nice.
We got May, and we got June, and then we got nothing. So
great.
Yep. But we also have a third thing that I almost forgot about, which is the red snapper season. Looking at what the Gulf Council has posted on their page, says we've got a red snapper season opening June the 8th and running through the end of the year.
Nice.
So apparently we'll have red grouper for the first half of the year and then 1 month of overlap and then red snapper for the second half of the year.
Okay.
Which, you know, if it works out that way, that isn't so bad. It still gives you a reason to go offshore.
Yeah, it does. It does, but once they go out there to those, they're going to be going after the red. They'll be catching red grouper as byproduct.
Yeah, they will.
You know.
You can't help it. Just like some of the guys who've been going deeper looking for big red grouper have been catching red snapper as bycatch.
Exactly.
So, you know, just make sure that you've got your descending gear to send those fish back down.
Yeah.
The last thing we need is dead discards, you know, killing fish that we're releasing. That doesn't help the cause one itty-bitty teeny-tiny bit.
It helps the commercial fishermen just fine.
Eh.
No?
I don't want to talk about them.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's the situation. That's where we're at. So, okay. And don't get confused when you hear about Red Snapper opening June 1st, because for the charter fleet, they do open June 1st. For you and I as recreational anglers on private boats, they don't open until June the 8th. That is stupid, but yeah. That's what they're doing.
That's what they always do.
So,
nothing the Gulf Fishery Council does or the Game and Fish does makes much sense.
Okie doke. That brings us to, in this place-by-place fishing report, which is what we were in the middle of doing, in case you forgot, the Venice Jetties and Venice Pier.
Spanish mackerel, and Spanish mackerel.
So lots of Spanish mackerel is what you're saying.
Yep.
An abundance of Spanish mackerel?
Quite a few.
A plethora of Spanish mackerel.
Plethora,
A
yes.
cornucopia of Spanish mackerel?
Cornucopia. I like it.
Which one of those words should I use?
I don't know. 2 zillion trillion. A lot.
A lot. Yeah. That's about what my fingers want to do by this time. Okay, a lot of Spanish mackerel. Yep. And what are they hitting on?
They're catching them on spoons. A couple guys are catching them on shrimp under a bobber. One guy got his on a gotcha. And then another guy was just catching them on pompano jigs.
Shrimp under a float or just about anything shiny.
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
If it wiggles and moves and flashes, they're going to eat it.
I like it. Anything
McDonald's
else up here?
McDonald's
straw. McDonald's straw is a great bait.
At night, they've been getting a few snook right there at the jetties. Still not hot and heavy yet, but there are a few fish there.
Do you prefer to cast your McDonald's straw or troll it?
Cast it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you're stuck up there on the pier or on the beach. So I like casting them.
Do you put a little weight in your McDonald's straw?
Yeah. Use a bullet weight.
And where do you put the bullet weight? Do you put it at the top or at the bottom by the hook?
I find one that will slide inside the straw.
Okay.
So it's right above the treble hook technically, or I wedge it inside the straw somewhere just to give it some good weight to it.
Okay. And you feel that that provides an acceptable bubble trail?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Seems to.
All right. Just asking a simple question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to jump down my throat.
Jesus, man.
I didn't do anything. What a jerk. Have we heard anything from Punarassa?
No.
Redfish Pass?
Yes. Some tarpon
well,
down
hold
there.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. I wasn't expecting you to actually have anything from Redfish Pass,
yep.
So... Now I got to get prepped for that because it said no reports until further notice since December 16th of 2023.
Right.
So the fact that we have one now, I was completely not accepting that, but now I'm ready for it. What do you got?
I've been tarping down there, cruising just on the inside of the ICW over to St. James City. And then they've also been getting a few trout right there in that same area and a couple of Spanish mackerel. Those are the main ones that I heard about. And it was all from the same two guys.
I figured that, you know, to go almost, that's a long time to go without any reports.
It is.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, there was something called a hurricane down there and kind of screwed things up.
I remember it.
Well, some people don't. And some people forget that even when it happened yesterday.
Huh?
Didn't bother me.
Oh.
So it didn't happen.
Oh. Captiva Pass.
Same thing. Tarpon.
The exact same thing? Mm-hmm. Because the exact same thing would be over to St. James City, which doesn't make as much sense.
No. But tarpon, scattered throughout the ICW right there. And in kind of coming and going in and out of the pass. An assortment of sharks. Some Spanish mackerel. A couple of ladyfish and a few trout. Even some legal-sized trout. Right in the immediate vicinity, not just in the pass.
Right.
And then another guy did catch a couple of whiting there on the north end of the channel. And he caught a couple sheep's head, and he did see a couple of sheep's head cruising along the shoreline, but only caught those two.
Well, this is a lot to type.
It is.
I wasn't expecting this many words.
I know. It happens once in a while. Sometimes it lights up like a Christmas tree.
Where were the sheep's head? They were
right up against the shoreline on the north side of the channel. That's where he caught his whiting, and he caught a couple of the sheep's head, and then saw the couple.
Okay. Isn't it nice not to have anybody come and interrupt while we're trying to do the reports?
Right.
You know, these after-hours reports are convenient in a way.
It is.
Of course, it's also the end of the day.
Yeah, a long day.
What time?
Been up since dark 30.
What time did you wake up?
4.
Yeah. That's a little too early.
Yeah.
I didn't wake up till 5.
Yeah.
It's 8:30 now.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're complaining about. We're just getting old. Boca Grande Pass.
Pretty much. Boca Grande Pass. The,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what is it? What is it that you really want to say, Robert?
The tarpon should be there, but they're not. But there's been a couple of days where they've been in there.
Okay. So how do you want to say that?
Well,
and the thing is, I mean,
think they're going to show up there any day.
That's
now.
What I was going to say. Is they may be dumping in there as we speak right now.
Right.
And they may be loaded up thick in the past by the time people listen to this thing tomorrow or the day after.
Right.
So.
I think it would be a good thing to say that. Should be, could be, or will be tarpon any day now. And then there's also been a bunch of Spanish mackerel.
I couldn't find one.
You couldn't get any in there?
No, nope.
When was it you were in there?
Thursday and Friday.
And you didn't get any
nope.
Spanish in there?
Nope.
Even up on the hill?
Nope, nope.
Really?
Nope, nope, nope.
Wow. Okay.
Trolled spoons on top and on a number one planer.
Huh.
And nope, nope, nope. We caught the one ladyfish, and we caught one cow nose ray.
Nice. Yep. Okay. That's a little odd because I've been getting mixed reports out there with Spanish mackerel pretty consistently.
Yeah. That's what I expected.
Yep. That's what I've been hearing. Been some snook right up against the shoreline on the Boca Grande side. And then there has been a few bull sharks in there cruising around wondering where their food is at. Or coming inside to get birth. But either way, they're seeing them in there, and even a couple guys have hooked one good one off the shore, which was like 8-9 foot. It was a pretty solid fish.
Okay. And Cubera snapper on the phosphate dock.
Mm-hmm. Absolute positively one.
Listen, if there was one, there's got to be more.
Probably.
I think a lot of Cuberas get caught, and people just assume they're mangroves.
Yeah, I'm assuming too.
All right, let's talk about the surf fishing. Gulf beaches from Sanibel to Venice.
Well, let's see. I'm hearing of whiting, pompano, Spanish, a few snook. Couple of teeny tiny flounder.
I'm not typing that.
Couple of oversized, like giant bluefish. And that's about it.
Okay.
Kind of a little bit of a mixed gamut of stuff out there.
Any particular hot spots?
Let's see. I heard about Blind Pass, Stump Pass, Boca Grande Pass, and a couple of the beaches along Boca Grande. And then also Caspersons Beach.
I'm going to go back and put Casperson first, so we're going north-south.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I am that anal.
Imagine that.
Okay. And, of course, Blind Pass. There is no pass at Blind Pass.
No. Middle Beach, the flats, North Inglewood Beach, the beach between Inglewood Beach and Minnesota. Take a pick.
I think you've described it well enough, sir.
Pretty much.
I just was reiterating there was no pass. There was passes in all the other places that you mentioned. Until then, you added Casperson. But, you know. The Matlache Indian Fields Smokehouse Bay area.
Some redfish, a few trout, a couple of snook. And that's about it.
And that's about it. Okay. Pine Island Sound.
Let's see. Quite a few snook. Quite a few redfish. A lot of tarpon. And the tarpon are feeding on both live thread fins and dead thread fins, but you will go through some sharks in the process of eating that stuff. And there has been a few Spanish mackerel all around there. Good mixed variety of stuff. I like this time of year.
You know what I like about it is that I'm getting very few of these no reports things.
Right.
That you put in here.
Like, exactly.
Everybody wanted to go fishing, and then they caught fish.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Some trout and Spanish mackerel.
Some trout.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a billion trout over here.
Is that where you're catching a bunch of trout?
Yeah.
Well, then what are you asking me for? You got first-hand knowledge.
I'm asking you for your reports, and then I will...
I got reports of some trout.
Add whatever I've got.
I've got reports of some trout, but you got first-hand experience with catching them there.
Many.
So.
Many trouts. Unfortunately, not too many keepers.
Right.
Had a trout maybe 12 inches coming in. You know, you're just cranking it in like it's just another little trout. And all of a sudden, as I'm cranking and I'm talking and I'm not really looking at it, I catch motion out of the corner of my eye and I look over there thinking maybe I got a cormorant or something coming after it. No, I got a little shark about 3 feet long and I did not get to identify him, but he grabbed that trout right off my line.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
Took it, left me the lure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He just took the trout. He grabbed it for long enough for the drag to go zit, and that was it. And I thought he'd cut me off, reeled it in. There's the lure. Line's not touched. He just grabbed the fish.
No kidding. Well, that's always fun.
Yep.
Good way to keep you on your toes.
It did, too.
It's always fun stuff when unpredictable things happen like that.
Yeah, there's also been a ton of big pinfish over here.
Oh, really?
Even on the soft plastics, we were probably catching... we were catching more trout than pinfish, but it was maybe like 2 to 1.
Really?
Yeah, we caught a lot of pinfish.
That's kind of crazy.
So I would not recommend going the shrimp technique.
No.
You're going to go through a lot of them.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, says the man who sells shrimp.
Yeah, job security.
You also sell soft plastics.
This is true, too.
Burn store and Two Pines.
A lot of little snook and a handful of redfish up along the bushes. And then on top of the bar, been some ladyfish and some Spanish macs. A couple of bonnet heads.
You're doing it again.
I know, talking too fast. Too many things. Sorry. But they the Spanish mackerel have been mixed in with the trout and the ladyfish just right up there in that 3 feet, 4 feet of water. Along with a couple of miscellaneous sharks. It's been not too bad of fishing down there.
Okie doke. The East Side Keys, Hobbs Point Pirate Harbor.
The east side's been kind of quiet, except for some small snook, and then some occasional Spanish mackerel and some small trout on top and on the outside of the bar. I didn't get too many good reports over there this past several days.
Well, it doesn't help that there is a ton of algae over there. Again, we've gone over there to look for the grass, and there's just a little bit that we've seen.
Yeah.
It's mostly algae, lots of algae, lots and lots of algae.
That's nuts. That's stupid.
It's not helping things.
No.
Alligator Creek, poachers cut in the skating rink.
I got no reports from in there.
Uh-oh. See, this is what happens. We get back up here to the upper harbor, and next thing you know, I'm typing no reports, no reports.
No, I just didn't get any reports this week.
Okay, hold on a sec. Ponce de Leon Park?
A couple of snook.
Okay.
Some mangrove snapper. And a guy did see a couple of black drum come swimming through. He said supposedly he watched a guy in a boat fish in the edge of the channel and caught about a 30-inch or so cobia. And the guy had to yell back and forth to find out what the legal size was on it, so he ended up letting it go.
Mm-hmm. I am not accepting that secondhand report.
No.
The PGI canals and general Punta Gorda area.
Lots of little snook that they're catching.
Are these little snook underneath the docks, or are they around the mangroves?
Mostly under the docks and catching them while they're trolling in and out. And then there's been a lot of little juvenile tarpon flipping everybody the fin. There has been a handful of sheep's head in there, too. Not numbers, but better quality fish. And then the black drum, of course, showing themselves just about everywhere. Just not hearing of a lot of people hooking them yet.
Whoops.
Although there's got to be something going on today out there because we sold out of the frozen blue crabs today.
Yeah, I may have been part of that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I saw you push it on a couple of people, but there was there was 3/4 of a case in there.
Yeah.
So there's I think there's 40 to a case.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we sold out of them pretty quick.
Yeah, I pushed some blue crab today.
Gotcha.
I did.
Were you hearing a black drum over in there?
Yes.
Is that why?
Yep.
Okay.
Just a lot of people talking about seeing them, and a lot of people frustrated about trying to catch them. And,
yeah.
You know. And, of course, they like the shrimp. Nothing wrong with the shrimp. Shrimp works great, except that everything else eats the damn shrimp.
Yes.
So.
That's true. Unless you're able to just drop it right in front of their face, I agree with you. The blue crabs are the better way to go.
Yep. Although when I put black drum popping up, I accidentally typed black drum or pooping up, so I had to...
Change it?
I had to fix that.
Oh, keep that good Freudian slip. It's all good.
Well, I mean, they probably are. They're pooping all over the canals.
Yes, they are.
You just don't realize it.
Well, probably sometimes.
You think about how much fish poop is out there.
A lot.
I mean, all those fish that you're seeing all the time out there in the water, all those fish, as you know from aquariums, poop more or less constantly.
Yeah.
And think about how much fish urine there is out there. Fish constantly produce a dilute urine to the point that some fish can produce half their weight in urine every single day.
That's crazy.
So think about the amount of fish pee that's out there the next time you're wading around or the next time you think about where your drinking water supply comes from.
Nice. That's just exactly perfect stuff. Oh, fond of memories.
Yep.
Thanks for that.
The Gilchrist Pier.
Trout.
Yeah?
They've been getting some trout there in the mornings. Even John's been catching a couple over there. Most of them are shorts. But they've been catching them sporadically for the last 2 weeks?
Longer than that, because we had them in the 4-6 report.
Okay, there you go. Another gentleman caught a short cobia there and a snook.
Oh, really?
Yep. And John said he had a snook on that was about 20 inches, and it flopped off before he got it up to the railing.
Okay. After going from no reports and don't bother...
to almost getting rid of it because, it's useless.
And now, I mean, it's very deeply exciting to me to hear about one snook and one cobia caught there. Which, I know it sounds like I'm being very facetious about that, but I'm really not. It deeply, deeply excites me to hear that one person caught one snook at the Gilchrist Pier.
Right.
The Alligator Creek Reef.
Oh, there's been a handful of tarpon on it. That's about it. I haven't heard... I mean, I heard of a couple Spanish last week, but I didn't hear of any Spanish this week.
Yeah.
But the Spanish have not been hot and heavy up on this end of the harbor at all.
The 20-foot holes.
Tarpon.
Tappen.
Tarpon. Tarpon.
Uh-huh. Spanish?
And a couple of sharks.
Spanish?
A couple, but just a couple. Not really... I don't even know if they should get an honorable mention.
Well, then I won't put them in there.
Okay, then don't.
Why didn't you just say no?
I tried. You just kept pushing it. He said Spanish. Spanish?
Spanish?
Spanish.
Spanish?
Figured you had some more insight or something that you went out there and wrecked them one day or something.
Nope. There's been no rectum. Mm-mm. The baitfish reports.
Let's see. White bait's tough, but they are getting it out there. There's small to decent white bait at marker 2. Much better white bait down towards Jug Creek. A lot of pinfish and some nice white bait down by Devilfish and Three Sisters.
Now hold on, you're...
Why? You're just supposed to be able to type that quick.
You're going to have to get a stenographer in here is what you need.
Right.
And it's not me. Okay, we got some white bait around marker 2. It's not great. Better ones are around...
down by Boquilla and Devilfish. And even over at Three Sisters. And those seem to have a little bit more pinfish also mixed in with them.
Okay.
And then there's threadies scattered throughout the entire harbor.
Oh, they're everywhere.
But they're not a good bait. Don't throw your cast net on them. Don't kill them all. Let them swim around. Try to catch a few on a sabiki and see how they do in your live well first, because they're not... they're not a great keep bait. They're definitely probably one of the more fragile bait fish out there.
Yeah, they are. We had some big schools inside Turtle Bay.
Inside the bay?
Yeah.
Tarpon-sized threadies?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. And we know for sure what they were because we snagged one.
Right.
Just to make sure what we were looking at. We didn't need a million of them, but wanted to see for sure what we had.
Right.
Nice big thready.
Perfect.
Yep.
That's perfect.
And it wasn't just like there's one pod. It was like pod, 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 pod.
That's crazy. It's neat when the bait gets up in there and that shallow stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
I was pleased to see nobody in there netting it.
That's always a good thing.
But maybe people are starting to understand there's a difference between white bait and thread herring.
Yeah.
You know, the white bait will tolerate crowding in a well if the well is properly designed. Threadies just don't.
No.
They just fall over and die. And I got no problem with taking threadies for bait, but, you know, it's a dozen, maybe two dozen.
Yeah.
That's all you really need.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not just for tarpon. Threadies do make great cut bait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a threadfin herring, tear it in half, put both halves on the hook, or one half at a time. It's a great piece of cut bait. It's got a lot of flavor that fish really seem to enjoy. But, you know, just over-harvest is unnecessary.
Yep.
It's a valuable resource. Treat it like one. The freshwater reports.
Freshwater reports?
Yeah.
Really?
I
can do those?
Yeah. Canals, creeks, rivers, ponds, lakes, places like that.
The bluegill are starting to pick up a little bit. Hearing some mixed reports in a lot of the Port Charlotte and Northport canals. A couple of guys going inland to the big lakes and getting them too. And then, of course, bass. The bass are still mostly on a shiner feed. At least if you want to catch them of any consistency.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay. That brings us to the tarpon reports.
Okay.
So, hold on a sec. Let's
Jeez.
Collect the map. All right. We're going to start with the red dots, the best bet for a hookup for a tarpon. Where are we going?
From the mouth of Alligator Creek.
The mouth of Alligator Creek. Boom.
With dots going all the way over to the mouth of the Myakka.
All the way over to the mouth of the Myakka. That takes it right across Whorehouse Point. Do you want to go in an arc, or do you want to just go straight across?
You pick.
Okay. Whorehouse Point, and then out here in the middle of the harbor, and then right there, and then that's right about at the 14-foot hole area. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
That made five dots. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bum.
Nice. The other one is down by Gasparilla.
Down by Gasparilla Pass on the inside or the outside?
On the inside.
On the inside. Ba-boom. Okay.
And then down by Captiva on the inside.
Down by Captiva Pass. Okay, hold on a sec. Which one is Captiva Pass? I never go down here. Okay, Boca Grand Pass. Next one south is Redfish, right?
Nope, that's Captiva.
That's Captiva. Okay. Inside or outside?
Inside.
Inside. Okay.
That's about it.
That's it? No red dot for Boca Grand Pass? It's so sad.
Nope.
Okay. All right, hold on here. All right, yellow dots, 50-50 chance.
The 20-foot holes.
The 20-foot holes. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Okay.
Boca Grand Pass.
Boca Grand Pass. Inside, outside?
Yes.
Inside, outside. All right.
And along the beaches.
Along the beaches where?
Captiva Pass all the way head north.
From Captiva Pass heading north. Okay. How far off the beach?
Within a mile.
Within a mile. Okay. So I got to get right up close. Boop. Boop. Right up there on Johnson Shoal?
Not too much there. Well, the general vicinity of the pass itself.
But you said right off the beach from Captiva Pass all the way up.
Yeah.
Well, that includes Johnson Shoal if I'm going within a mile of the beach.
Sure.
You got to make up my mind here, buddy.
Nope. Stick with that. That's fine. Those fish are a pain in the butt when they get on that shoal.
Well, yeah, they are, but you can see them.
Crossing.
You can see them, and it's great. We watch the fly guys up there at Gasparilla Pass, all stationed up there on that bar.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't break out like step ladders.
Yeah, I think that's the next thing coming.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them like, good luck there, guys.
Yeah.
How far north am I going with this?
All the way up above to at least Stump Pass.
All the way up to Stump Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, hold on, because that's too far. Okay, there we go. Up to Stump Pass.
Yep.
You got it. Okay, any place else that I can put a yellow dot?
Nope.
41 Bridges?
Nope.
Elder Bean Bridge?
Nope.
Canals?
Nope.
Two Pines?
Nope.
Mouth of the Coosatchee?
Nope.
The Sanibel Causeway?
Nope.
I'm just reminding you of the places that exist. White dots, less than a 50% chance of a hookup, but still, you know, it's possible.
St. James.
St. James City.
Ba-boom. Sanibel Causeway.
Sanibel Causeway, ba-boom.
41 Bridge.
The 41 Bridge, ba-boom.
And that's about it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to put one right here, though. Boom. Right there, west of Boquilla in that cut.
Oh, okay.
A lot of tarpon hanging out down there.
Perfect.
Okay. So now I just have to convert that into typing so that I can add that to the fishing report, but there's no need for us to continue to talk about that while I do that. So do you have anything else that you would like to add to this report, sir, which has gone now for more than an hour?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
Okay. What do you think the likelihood is of us doing a report next week?
Slim.
Because we're going to be busy.
Yep.
And because I doubt we're going to take the time to stay after work and do it again.
We might.
We might, but...
Or we might just piece it together throughout the day and try our damnedest.
So, yeah. We're doing what we can for you folks. But remember, if you don't have your place-by-place fishing report here on the Fish and Franks page or on the Facebook page where you find it, there's always Robert's Saturday report that is part of the Radio Waterline show, which you can always listen to live on Kix Country 92.9 FM from 7 to 9 every Saturday morning, or you can catch the replay whenever is convenient for you at radiowaterline.com.
Or they can call me here at the shop.
Or they can call you here at the shop, yes, while you're in the middle of doing 7,000 other things and demand...
I will try to answer it the best I can.
...demand a lengthy fishing report. Where's the fish biting,
you're
Robert?
You're not going to get a full fishing report. You just tell me what you're looking for, and I'll do my damnedest to try to point you in the right direction.
Like you do all day, every day.
Pretty much.
So.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up. Say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.